Good morning. Merry Christmas. Would you all please stand for our call to worship? It's number 201 in the hymnal, Emmanuel.
Life is different because Jesus came. Would you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. See, it's okay to amen in a Baptist church. Oh, Merry Christmas and welcome to Granite Hills. It is that time of year that really is a joy. And I'm going to share just a few brief announcements with you, some scripture, and we'll get back to some singing. There will be two offerings this morning, and if there's not enough, I've been told the ushers will turn you upside down and shake you. No, that is not, I don't think, what they're going to do. The second offering is for our building fund, and so for those of you who have pledged, that's just an opportunity to give. I hope you were handed a worship guide when you came in. I want to highlight a few things. First, we do have a Christmas Eve service this Tuesday. That's Christmas Eve. All of you who haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, you are down to the wire. But it's 6 o'clock, and invite everyone who wants to come to that. It does tend to fill up, so if you want to, you know, be able to sit with a crowd, you might want to show up just a little early for that. But please come be part. And then the Celebrate Recovery Ministry has invited anyone who would like to a pie social afterwards, so that there will be a pie social for anybody who wants to be part of that. And then notice, please, that this Wednesday is Christmas. Merry Christmas. We love you. We love being part of a church, but don't come here. There is nothing going on Christmas at the church. We normally have Wednesday night activities, and we will not on the 25th. Also, you'll see that a week from Tuesday, that's the 31st, that's the last day of 2019, and our church has what's called a watch night service. You're watching all the way to ring in the new year. I do want to say everybody's welcome to that. This is a fun thing. If you want to come be part, we'll meet up here at 8 o'clock. And everybody who can make it can stay till midnight. If you're like me, I've got kids and I tend to go to bed early. So we'll probably have an early like bird celebration for all of us who will not make it till midnight. But come be part of that. It's just a fun thing to do as a church family. That'll be Tuesday the 31st starting at 8 o'clock. Last, I want to point out, we have Sunday evening services at Granite Hills. Normally, it starts at 7 o'clock, but starting in January this year, it's moving back an hour to 6. So the Sunday, yes, there have been many, excuse me, amens on that too. So the evening service starting January the 5th will be at 6 o'clock. As I read these words out of Isaiah 9, will you just let your heart begin to wonder again, like a little kid hearing these for the first time? Listen to this. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Let's pray. God, I'm so glad you're a zealous God and that you chase us down to rescue us just as you promised. I mean, what an impossible promise to keep. And yet with you, you kept it. person born in the line of David who is also the everlasting Father. There's just no other way than Jesus to meet this kind of a promise. And so Jesus, first I'd ask for each of us that you would rekindle in us the sense of wonder that should happen at Christmas, not just because we're getting gifts or getting to see family, though those are fun things, but because you, God, somehow became man. And also that you could die on the cross for our sins and claim a people for yourself forever. Jesus, thank you for the wonder of Christmas and the incarnation. I also pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use Mark and use the musicians this morning to draw our hearts to you, to worship you as the one who deserves praise. And then lastly, Jesus, I know that this morning it's be so easy to kind of come and just go through the motions, but Holy Spirit, would you not allow us to leave unchanged? Would you do something in each of us this morning that draws us to you? And I ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Would you please stand for our offertory hymn?
Here we have a photo of the White family serving in South Asia. They're here. Raise your hand right there. That's so good. You'll notice their oldest daughter right here. If you want to know what Elaine looked like when she was that age, She's right there. That is little Elaine, just as big as life. But this is a great thing. I put it on my fridge and on my bathroom mirror sometimes to pray for them every time I see them. And so my wife has it in her phone, and it bleeps off. That's when she prays for them. And so that's thank you for being here and being our missionary. You're heroes in our book here at this church. Would you stand to your feet? And would you just walk up to somebody and say, Merry Christmas. Oh, right. You're up. Yeah. Yeah. You don't know the schedule. All right. Merry Christmas, sister. Love you too. All right. You sit down. All right. All right, I said it enough. Okay. Just kidding. All right. Hey, we have a little Christmas special here. And you're going to see some individual singing and stuff like that. But would you listen for the gospel and the great sense of the gospel during the Christmas time? I'm so grateful for the Lord, especially at this time. So my wife and my son are going to sing, and then I'm going to preach, and then we're going to have some other singing. But sit back and enjoy worshiping the Lord.
It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Besought the earth goodwill to men from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains, they bend on heavenly wings, and over o'er its babble sounds the blessed angels sing. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now for glad and golden hours. Come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road, and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen King of all, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth Jen's ancient splendors fling, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
All right, it's almost Christmas here, just a couple days here. How many of you children got a Christmas tree at the house? Got a Christmas tree? Yeah, all right. How many of you got something under it? All right. It's looking pretty good. Once my mom and dad didn't put them up till Christmas Eve. That was horrible. I didn't think I was getting anything, you know. My wife and I kind of took a break from wrapping presents this year. And so we just went down to Hobby Lobby and bought a big sack. One for each kid. And we just put them all in there, and there you go. And I think it looks cool, little potato sacks all around the tree. It says Merry, Merry Christmas on it. And I did wrap some gifts for my wife. Well, I paid my daughter to do that because I still wrap like a first grader. And so it's great to see y'all here and on this Christmas special we're having here. I want you to open your Bible. We're going to read a couple. We're going to talk about just really two major figures here, the human figures in the account of Christ coming to earth. And the two figures that were both visited by an angel, most likely Gabriel for even Joseph, who were fearful and full of anxiety and wondering, what in the world is going on in my life? I would like to talk to you today about these two figures named Mary and Joseph. My dad told me on about 2 days before I married my wife, Hope. He said, "Now, son, I want you to hear something. I believe, son, that a man and a woman married that are living and reserved for the Lord, there's nothing God cannot do with them." I remember him telling me that and me going, wow, I look forward to that, of having a relationship that's God-centered, Christ-centered, and we're going to go and live for Christ. And by God's grace, we've been doing that, my wife and I. And I see here that after this sermon, I hope you agree that, in fact, two married people who were willing to obey without reservation were able to be a part of the greatest event in history, and that is bringing in the Lord Jesus into the world. The two major similarities in these two encounters with the angel is that they were both told to not be afraid. Fear, what does that do for us? We're going to talk about that. And what name to name the child? Jesus. They both were told what the child's name is going to be. And Jesus means the Lord is salvation, which is a great name for Jesus. Would you stand with me as we look? Luke 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth expecting John the Baptist, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel asked and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. It's a reserved verse. You might want to underline that. You might need to read that every once in a while, like maybe 365 times this year. And Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Lord, thank you for this account that blesses us and explains to us so many mysteries. And Lord, may we have this kind of a Christmas. Would you speak into our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Title of my sermons today, there are many sermons. I'm going to have two, one on Mary, one on Joseph. And the first one is Mary Spoke Up. And the second one is Joseph Woke Up. And we'll see that in a moment. But we see here first that the angel Gabriel came to Mary and spoke, and she spoke up. And the first thing she says is, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the first time Mary speaks up to the angel, he asks a very practical question she asks, in that she was told she was going to have a baby, and that she had never known or been with a man in that way. I would like to point out here that at no time did Mary have an angel come to her when she was a little girl, or a priest, or anything, come to her and say, hey, Mary, God has a great plan for you. And you're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world, and conceived by the Holy Spirit. So please, would you keep yourself a virgin and live for God? No one came to her to do that. That's because God expected it from her. This is how you're supposed to live. And Mary said, I'm going to live for the Lord. And in fact, really, there wasn't a whole lot going on. In fact, she's just a typical young woman living for God in Nazareth in the first century. In fact, she was about to get engaged. And what we learned from culture and those kinds of things, she's probably between the age of 16 and 18. Probably. We might be off a year or so, maybe 19. Joseph, probably someone who had to go and get everything ready and have a house and all those things. So he might be in his early 20s at the very most, maybe 19, 18, I don't know. Two young couples here, a couple. And so she's fixing to get married and live in Nazareth the rest of her life when God shows up. And I say this because we live in a world that puts a lot of pressure on our young men and women to be sexually active and to go out and experience things that the Bible says is only be done in the arena of a committed married life with a spouse, by the way, of the opposite sex. These are things our children need to be told now. That's supposed to be the normal life of people that worship God. I think in today's world it should be said right here that it is a great thing to have yourself kept pure for your marriage and to follow the example of Mary and Joseph and be virgins when you get married. In certain areas of work, such as police work, everything gets found out. There's nothing sacred. And when you don't go out and run around with the guys and don't do all that and go drink and everything, people start figuring out what you're all about. And they figured me out. And I remember sitting at the light at 6th and Center when one of my officer buddies rolled up and said, hey, Mark, you're a virgin, aren't you? With two policemen, you know, like, grow up. But even then, the reason he was saying that is because he was jealous. Yeah. These are things that people wish they had. and young people and old alike, this is a great lesson that we stay in God's will, living for Him, that we may be visited by Him and used for His glory. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how pure you are. I know one thing, we're all sinners. But I want you to know this, no matter what's happened and no matter what you've done, God can start for right now with anyone who's willing to turn to Him and live for Him and turn from their sins. He can do it. In fact, the Bible's riddled with people that were not so great. You know, God used a pagan like Abraham, worshiping the sun, and turned his heart to God. A deceiver and a cheat and a liar like Jacob, He used. A murderer and worn out old man like Moses, He used. A harlot, not even of the tribe of Israel, like Rahab, is in the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. An adulteress and murderer like King David, who would teach us how to repent and how to come to Christ. Hey, the Bible's full of people who just one day were stopped in their tracks by a loving God. They looked to heaven and asked for forgiveness, and God changed them overnight and used them in powerful ways. So, dear friends, this Christmas, dads, do you know what would be the greatest gift for your family? Is a merry kind of Christmas, M-A-R-Y, a surrendered Christmas to the Lord. You want to give your family something awesome? Dads, have a surrendered life to Christ, to live for Jesus. Hey, moms, one of the greatest gifts you can give your children is a surrendered life to Jesus Christ. Children, the best gift you'll ever give your parents, your grandparents, is to say, I've come to Jesus. Huh? How many of you out there would love to hear from your children this Christmas? They call you on the phone Christmas Day and say, hey, Mom and Daddy, I want you to know I gave my life to Jesus. Would you have the best Christmas ever? Amen. Oh, my goodness. It would be the best day ever. And so, here we are. Mary is surrendered, living for Christ, and God shows up in the form of an angel to speak to her. And how does she respond? How does she speak up? It says here, she goes, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. You see, that can only be said of someone who's surrendered to the Lord, who's already living for Christ. She just says, man, notice here, the response of someone already living for the glory of God and in the surrendered life of God, the most common and rather normal Jewish girl of the time was no normal common girl at all. No, she responds to the angel in incredible faith. Behold, that means here I am. Here I am. Isaiah would say it that way. Here I am, send me. Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. You will notice that Mary had a view of herself that was very God-centered. Very unlike a lot of what would be considered politically correct today. Man, for a woman to say a bond slave of the Lord today, I don't think it would go over well in our culture. But she wasn't about the culture. She was about serving the Lord. And she did not have a view that many have today, that this is my life. That I can do what I want with it. I'm going to do whatever I want. And she didn't say that. She does not give herself liberty outside the bonds of the Word of God. And she says, I'm a bond slave. Now, we all know what a slave is. And that is the most correct Greek you can get. It wasn't a servant. It was a slave. And a slave is owned. Purchased. Owned. She knew she was owned by God. She wasn't a bond slave to Joseph. She wasn't a bond slave to any man on earth. She was a bond slave to God. And God owned her. And not only a slave, but a bond. A bond, you know, whenever you go to jail, a lot of people have to go get bailed out. And you go to a bond place, and they put a bond up for you. That means if you skip, there's a bond put out on you. That means you're in debt. You see, Mary says, I belong to the Lord, and I'm indebted to Him my entire life. I'm indebted to God. And He gets to do what He wants. And I agree with that. Now, church, is that the Christmas spirit or what? Is that where you're at today? Can you stand today and say, you know what I really want is your will, God. I belong to you. I'm a slave. Not only that, I am so indebted to you, Jesus. Is that you today? As these ladies sing, would you consider, if you're not, to right now where you're seated, say, I need to change this in my life. I need to flee to Jesus and surrender, have a surrendered life and have a Christmas like you've never had before. Are you having this kind of Christmas? Would you be prayerful about that as we hear these great songs sung? You folks, come on.
Hark the
reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ, thy highest heaven adore, Christ, the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. Please let men with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that men no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew, the first chapter, Matthew 1. Let's see what the angel tells Joseph. Matthew 1, we're going to be reading verses 18 through 25. Would you stand in honor of the Word of God? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, they were engaged. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, fulfilled what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph woke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Lord, thank you for your word. Would you open our hearts continually as we read it, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Boy, men and women are different. On first observation, something kind of jumps out at me on how men and women process information and then make decisions. You'll notice this. Mary, she listens. She's listening closely. She asks some questions. And immediately, makes a decision that will change the course and direction of her life forever. Joseph, on the other hand, thinks long and hard about this and even makes a decision without telling anybody and then just goes and sleeps on it and waits on it. And then the angel comes to him. Now, what I might have just done is described your marriage. It might describe mine a little bit. My wife has always said, if you ever come home and say, we're going to Africa, I feel the God leading me to be a missionary, I'm packing because you've already worked it out like 100,000 ways. All right? I am the one that goes, wait a minute, let's think about this. I don't know what it is. Probably I went from kindergarten, first grade twice, all the way to senior at the same school. I worked at the same police department for 20 years, and this is my second job since I was 23. That's it. I don't know, I'm just kind of like, okay, I think this is what God wants me to do. And I stick with it. And Joseph is like this. And where Mary spoke up with the angel, we find Joseph woke up from the angel and did some great things, some things that are very much like Mary. And we can learn from, especially us men. And the first thing, Joseph obeyed the command and took Mary, his wife. And when he took her with all the reproach that comes with it. Joseph did a God thing here. And a real look into the future, what Jesus was going to do for us. You see, to be pregnant and not married in the small village of Nazareth in the first century was no picnic. This was deadly serious stuff. And for her to be found expecting while engaged was actually a dangerous thing for her. You see, really, Joseph had three options. He could publicly humiliate her. He could have her stoned, actually killed, executed. Or he could kind of come to the house, talk to the parents, bring a priest, have this annulled, and send her away someplace to have a baby. So it'd be just done secretly. Or he could marry her, which is to say, I'm the father. Those are the options. And well, he was sleeping on the second option. He was a righteous man. That kind of blesses me that the Bible says he was a righteous man. Other places say he was a just man. He wouldn't have had her stoned. Makes me reevaluate sometimes how hard we should be with folks, you know? And so he's thinking about putting her away privately, and he went to bed, and he went to sleep. And you see, ladies, let me just speak to you. Sometimes the Lord can get a lot done while us men are sleeping. You know, maybe we just need to sleep on some things every once in a while. All right? And so don't get after us too much when we go, let's sleep on that. All right? And while sleeping, an angel tells Joseph to marry her and gives him some details as to how she became pregnant. You know, I think that was important. You know, what's the deal here, Lord? I mean, we've been faithful, and look at what she's done. And he needed to have that very much told to him. In fact, he would be the only one told, other than Mary, because he's the only one that needs to know. He has to make the decision, and an angel comes to him. I tell you what, I wish I was just, I don't know, some long-lost uncle in that house when Joseph showed up. Just think about the tension that must have been going on. Here comes Joseph and his mom and dad to Mary and Mary's house with her parents. They have a priest in tow, and the mother of Mary is saying, now, Mary, you might want to prepare yourself here. This could be a very, very bad day. You be careful what you say. All right, you could be stoned today, Mary. That kind of tension's going on in the house. For sure, you're going to be humiliated, so just take it, okay? You're going to get divorced today, okay? That's the tension as Mary watches Joseph come up, and nothing of the sort happens. Joseph doesn't drop the mic. Joseph takes a knee and says, Mary, would you forgive me? And would you be my wife? And her astonishment before she could take another breath was probably the words of Joseph saying, by the way, an angel talked to me. We're good. that happened. And it was the best early Christmas gift Mary could have ever gotten. It was a beautiful scene of God getting his will done. You see, that day, Joseph took on the reproach of getting Mary pregnant, which it did not belong to him. And some 33 years later, the stepson of Joseph, our Lord and Savior, will copy him and take on the sins of the world that do not belong to him and the reproach of all that we've done and die on a cross for you and for me.
What a Savior.
Amen. He says, and he became sin for us. Who knew no sin? That we could be children of God. I want to ask you, have you had this? Can you say in your soul, it is well? It is well because Jesus has died for me. He's taken on everything that I've ever done and am going to do. Is that you today? As these ladies sing this song, would you contemplate, is it well with you on this subject of my sins? Let's hear them sing, ladies.
All is well, all is well. Angels and men rejoice. For tonight darkness fell into the dawn of
I'd like to say this one last thing, and we're going to have an invitation. An invitation is to invite you to come to faith in Christ. The second thing that Joseph did so very well, Joseph was told to stop something. He was told to stop being afraid and being full of fear that this is the Lord's doing, and to not be afraid to do God's will. Joseph was challenged by the angel to stop, this fearful thing. He was told to stop being afraid and go do the will of God in his life. And what a great message for us men today. We men prone to be fearful. We are at times cowards. Fear of man, fear of circumstances, fear of fear. I think we can just be about afraid of anything. It is the number one American problem, anxiety and fear. And what happens to men when they get fearful is they do two wrong things. They either stay in the land of indecision or they do the very thing they shouldn't do. They make the wrong decision. And the angel had to tell Joseph not to be afraid to obey the Lord, but to be courageous when obeying the Lord. It took a lot of courage to go down there and say, I'm taking her as my wife. I'm going to do the Lord's will. I'm going to do it no matter what. And there'll be consequences. But I tell you, what are the consequences of not obeying the Lord? The only time you should be afraid, men, is when you're not obeying the Lord. The only time this preacher gets really afraid and when he gets really can't sleep and has anxiety is when I'm not living for Jesus. For the mind that has stayed on the Lord is at peace with God. Dear men, young and old, let us this next year throw out fear of what men think and do what we know the Lord is calling us to do. Life, it's way too short. And it's getting shorter. We're wasting time living in fear of what others think. Let's do what Joseph did. Let's be fearful of living a life of fearing this world instead of God. Do you know this is your only precious Christmas you may have? Have you been promised another one? We're not to this one yet. I have many times in my life been clearly demonstrated in my life, and this Christmas is no different, that life is short. Last Thursday, Ollie Miller, Deputy Chief of the Reno Police Department, says, Mark, we need you to come down here right now. I said, where are you at, Ollie? He told me an address. And I go down there to find a family who just lost their 26-year-old son, who's a Reno police officer, who wanted to be a policeman since he was 9 years old, who kept his nose clean and put his head in the books, played football locally, and wanted to be a Reno police officer. Took him two times, and he finally got on. Went through the entire academy, was 4 days his first week, got to wear a blue uniform with a badge on, goes home, crawls into bed, and dies of an apparent heart attack at 26 years old. Completely good health. Mother and father's only child. 6 days before Christmas. They bring out his body wrapped in a flag. Washoe County standing at attention as a mom wails over this guy and a dad. You know what happens in scenes like that? We're no longer afraid. Nothing matters anymore. And we begin to say, I love you to everybody. That man is brought down to the very basic part of his soul. And as I prayed for that family that I asked Jesus to help them, I didn't get done with that prayer when I stepped back and I thanked God for the grace he had on me. And the very next thing I wanted to do is to hug my wife and my kids. Because life is so precious. And this Christmas is precious to me. Have a surrendered life? Or are you going to go another Christmas fearful of what everybody thinks instead of what God thinks? And come to faith in Christ. And have hope on a day like that. That's my invitation. I have somehow always had an experience around Christmas, whether I was a policeman or a pastor, that reminds me of how good God has been to Mark Morton. And he's good to you, and he loves you, and he's died for you. And we're going to sing a song, one of my favorites, Emmanuel. We started out with it. We're going to end with it. But if you have not come to faith in Christ, I'll pray with you right here. You just come on up, and you can just ask God to forgive you, come into your life, change your life. This church is full of people that the power of God has changed their entire life. Would you stand?